Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find 30-minute videos on various subjects. And you will find a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in God's Word. We also want to invite you to our regular meeting times at the church at Harrisburg, and we will give you those at the end of this broadcast. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. You will always be warmly received. We only want to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died that you might be set free from sin. Today, we're going to begin a study in a very good book in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And today, we're going to examine Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the world, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, what we are looking at here in the first three verses of the book of Hebrews is the credentials of Jesus Christ. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers. In the patriarchal age, God spoke to the fathers, the head of the family, and then they would pass on that information down to their children and to their grandchildren, and they would learn about God in a way through the fathers. And then He spoke by the prophets. In the Mosaic period, He spoke by many different men who spoke by the prophets, and then that information was transferred to the people so they would know what God would have them to do. But in these last days, that refers to the last dispensation of time that we are now living in, that began on the day of Pentecost and will last until the end of time. He has spoken to us by His Son. Now, God speaks through the authority of His Son. Everything that we need to know in the realm of religion must go through the Son. The Son is the spokesperson for God, no one else. In Matthew 28:18, before He went back to heaven, we saw that He told us that He had all authority in heaven and earth. And so He is the supreme authority in the realm of religion, and everything that we say or do must be by His authority. That would also be validated by Colossians 3 and verse 17. But let us look at seven facts that make Him superior. Number one, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He was there at creation, but He will also be the heir of all things. In Psalms 2, verse 7 and 8, teach that truth. By whom also He made the world. He was there at creation. He had a part in the creation of the whole world. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17, we can read, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. So what we see is that He was there at creation, and by Him and through Him, the worlds were created. We next see that who being in the brightness of His glory. This talks about the image of deity. In John chapter 1, in verse number 18 in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, verse number 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now, that just simply means when we've seen God and we've seen His Son, we've seen the essence of deity. That's as close to deity that we will ever come. And so when we saw Him, we saw the brightness of his glory, and we saw his image. In John 14, verse 9, Thomas wanted to see the Father. It'll suffice. Just show us the Father. And Jesus told him, "Have I been with you so long that you don't understand? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, that doesn't mean that the Father and the Son are the same, but it does mean they're on the same class. That's what the word begotten means. It means one of a kind. He is one of a kind. He is part of the Godhead. And when you've seen him, you've seen the essence of God. And it says, in the express image of his person. In the express image of his person. Again, we get a glimpse of deity. We can read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up into glory. Now again, these things make him superior in every way, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things consist, if you read in Colossians chapter 1, through him. In Matthew chapter number 8, verse 26 and 27. But he said to them, "O why ye are fearful, O ye of little faith." Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey his voice." Again, this shows awesome power. This shows power that is unparalleled, unmatched. And so he upholds all things by the word of his power. Then, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus dying upon the cross purged our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness of sins through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, it says that blood justified us. It acquit us. It made us right in the sight of God. We also read in Revelation 1 and verse 5 that they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb when we obey the gospel. Many people misconstrue the water that's involved in water baptism. The water has no power. There's no mystical power in the water. The power is in obedience. The water is the access to the blood. The blood is what takes away sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. And so it took the blood of Christ in order to purge our sins, to cleanse us from our sins, that we might stand justified before God. And then it says that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We see this even hinted at in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 29. In Acts chapter 2, and verse 29, Peter said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and in his tomb with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn by an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God had raised up, which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Excuse me. "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" And so he is now sitting on the spiritual throne of David, ruling and reigning in his kingdom, on the majesty on high, and he is on the spiritual throne that was prophesied about in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. And so in Hebrews verses 1 through 3, we see why Jesus is the best and the only spokesperson for God that men should listen to. He is superior in every way. We've just given you 7 facts that make him superior in every way and why he is the correct one to be God's spokesperson. Now, what is the meaning of that for us? What the meaning of that for us, dear listener, is that everything that we say and do in religion must be done in accordance to his divine authority. His authority is supreme. Everything that's done in religion, whether you're talking about worship, whether you're talking about how to gain interest into the kingdom, whether you're talking about how to conduct your physical life here on earth, how to conduct ourselves in our physical relationships, what is the work of the church, how is the church organized, what is our responsibility to the sinner, what is our responsibility to one another in Christ. All these things are revealed by the authority of Christ through his word. And what we see in these first 3 verses of the book of Hebrews is the credentials of Jesus Christ that make him the only spokesperson that men should listen to. Now, the book of Hebrews is an interesting book. It was written at a time when Christians were being persecuted for their faith by the power of Rome. And maybe the Hebrew Christians who had converted from Judaism were considering to go back to Judaism in order to escape the persecution. This is a bad concept. This is a bad decision, because that would be regression. That would be leaving what's better for that which is temporal. The law of Moses was never designed to save men from sin. It was never designed to save all men. It was a national law given to a nation of Israel, and it was a temporary law to lead us to Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24 and 25. And so when it had accomplished that, when it had brought us to Christ, then we're no longer under the tutor because we have arrived at faith. And so in these first 3 verses of the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer is telling us these 7 facts concerning him that make him an excellent spokesperson. Let us remind you of them again in closing this morning. He whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. Dear listener, there is no one on earth that has the credentials that Jesus Christ does. He is God's only spokesperson. The Roman Catholic Church tells us that Christ is the vicar of Christ on earth is the Pope, and that he is the supreme authority in the church. That's wrong. Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 22 says the head of the church is Christ, and he is the one that speaks for the Father. And what does that mean to you? That means if you want to be acceptable to God, if you want to be pleasing in his sight, if you want to do things that will commend you to him, then you must listen to the Son. The Son has the authority, and his authority is found in the Scripture. He has credentials that no man can match. We suggest you listen and follow him. Thank you.